Okay, so today we're tackling a topic that's, well, it's kind of the backbone of our digital world, but honestly, it doesn't always get the attention it deserves. Software security.
Right, right.
And look, I get it. It might not sound as, you know, as glamorous as some of our other deep dives. Like, we're not diving into lost civilizations today, folks.
Not today.
But trust me, this stuff is important.
Absolutely.
And surprisingly interesting once you get into it.
Oh, for sure.
So we're cracking open this document. It's called, are you ready for this? 003-CrispDomain8Section3JAV4.pdf.
Okay, I'm ready.
And we're gonna pull out the good stuff, the need to know, the meat, yes, to help you navigate this whole world of software security.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how many parallels there are, you know, to those more, let's just say, exciting deep dives.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because when we talk about software security, we're talking about building those fortresses.
Okay.
We're talking about outsmarting adversaries.
Yeah.
And sometimes, yeah, even a little digital detective work.
I am so there for the digital detective work.
Oh, it's the best part.
So less about firewalls and code and all of that, more about the strategy.
Yes.
The mindset.
That strategy, the mindset.
Behind building secure software.
Exactly. You see, this document, what it really emphasizes is that it's not enough to just make code that works, right?
Right.
You have to think like that adversary.
Okay.
You have to anticipate where the vulnerabilities are, where those weak points are, and build in those safeguards from the very beginning.
So it's like proactive security.
Proactive, absolutely.
Instead of just, oh, something happened, now we got to fix it.
Right. Like, you don't wait till your house is on fire to install a smoke detector.
Right.
You got to be prepared.
Okay, so I'm getting the sense that this is all about being prepared. What's one of the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to software security?
Oh, that's easy. They forget about the logs. Or they just don't think they're that important.
In logs? Really?
It's like building this top-notch, state-of-the-art fortress. You spare no expense.
Okay.
Impenetrable walls. The works.
Yeah.
But you never actually check the locks.
Oh, no.
Or install security cameras.
Oh, that's not good.
That's what neglecting auditing and logging is like in the software world.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically saying, well, I hope nobody tries to break in because I've got no idea what's going on.
That is a terrifying thought.
It is terrifying. And you'd be surprised how common it is.
Really?
Yeah. More common than you think. And this is why this document, and this is drawing on OSP recommendations here.
Okay.
Stresses how important it is to monitor those maybe seemingly, you know, insignificant security events.
Give me an example. What kind of events?
So like failed login attempts.
Okay.
Someone trying to, like, you know, bypass input validation, things like that.
The little things that we might just like brush off.
Exactly.
Could actually be a sign of something much bigger.
Yes. Think of it this way. Those logs, those are like breadcrumbs left behind at a crime scene, right? If you don't have those breadcrumbs, if you haven't been logging those events, you are flying blind if something happens.
So we're talking digital detective work here.
Exactly. You need that forensic trail
to
figure out what happened, who did it, how they did it.
So it's not just about detecting a problem. It's about understanding it.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. So we've established that logs are important.
Very important.
But what do you actually do with all of that data? Logs can be massive.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. Just collecting it isn't enough. You need a way to sift through it, make sense of it.
Right. Okay.
It's about connecting the dots.
Okay.
Imagine, you know, a company thwarts this massive cyber attack because their security team, they're looking at the logs and they notice this unusual pattern of, let's say, failed login attempts.
Okay.
Coming from a very specific IP address.
Oh.
And they're able to connect the dots, recognize that threat early on.
Right.
And they neutralize it before any real damage is done.
Wow.
All thanks to those logs. They had the data.
They had the clues.
They had the clues.
That's incredible.
That's the power of it, right?
Yeah.
And that's why this document talks about needing a SIM.
A what?
A SIM. It stands for Security Information and Event Management System.
Okay, a SIM.
It's basically a centralized command center for all your security data.
So instead of just reacting to incidents, you're using this data to try and stay ahead of the curve.
That's exactly it. And this ties directly into another critical concept from the document, which is risk analysis.
Okay, risk analysis. Break it down for me. What does that even mean?
So risk analysis, it's all about proactively identifying vulnerabilities in your software before they could be exploited.
So we're not reacting anymore.
We're not reacting. We are thinking ahead like chess.
We're playing chess, not checkers.
Exactly. And this document really dives into something called threat modeling, which basically means putting yourself in the shoes of an attacker.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So you're trying to anticipate, how might someone try to break into my system? What are the weak points?
So you're almost thinking like the bad guy.
Exactly. You have to think like them to stay one step ahead.
Okay. So we're thinking like the bad guy. We're analyzing risk.
Yes.
Where does this all fit into the actual development of software?
This is where it gets really interesting, especially in a DevSecOps environment. Now, before you ask,
I was just going to ask, what in the world is a DevSecOps environment?
It sounds way more complicated than it is.
Okay, good.
It's just a way of building software where security is like baked in from the very beginning.
Okay.
So instead of security being an afterthought, like, oh yeah, we should probably make sure this is secure. It's like, no, security is part of every single step of the way.
Got it. So it's about integrating those security checks all throughout the development process.
Exactly.
Not just at the end.
Not just at the end, yeah. Like, imagine you're building a house.
Okay.
You wouldn't just, like, add the locks after the house is built, right?
Right.
You put the locks on the doors as you're building the doors. You know?
Right. That makes sense. So threat modeling, thinking like the bad guy, that becomes really crucial in this DevSecOps world.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because you're identifying and mitigating those vulnerabilities before they even make it into the code.
So we've covered building secure software from scratch, which is great.
Yeah.
But let's be real, not everyone has the resources or, frankly, the desire to build everything themselves.
Right, right.
So what happens when you're acquiring software from somewhere else? That feels like a whole other can of worms.
It's like navigating a minefield, right?
Exactly.
This document, it does a really good job of, you know, outlining the different ways you can acquire software.
Yeah.
And the security things you got to think about for each one.
So let's say I'm in the market for some off-the-shelf software.
Okay.
Like something everyone uses, a business application, that kind of thing.
Right.
What should I be looking out for? What are the red flags?
Okay. Well, first of all, don't just automatically trust a big name.
Well,
just because a piece of software is popular or comes from a big company.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's automatically secure.
So, like, don't be fooled by the shiny packaging.
Exactly. You got to look under the hood.
Okay, so how do you do that? How do you look under the hood of software?
Due diligence. That's what this document really stresses.
Yeah.
Especially with COTS software, commercial off the shelf.
Due diligence. So we're talking background checks, but for software.
Basically.
Yeah.
You want to know their security track record.
Okay.
Have they had any big security breaches before? How do they handle vulnerabilities when they're found? Do they tell people? Or do they try to hide it?
Okay, so do some digging.
Yeah. Look at their website. Look for news articles. See what people are saying about them online.
Get the inside scoop.
Exactly. And then there are certifications.
Right, certifications. Those are important, right?
They can be. Look for things like ISO 27001 or ISO 27034.
Okay, I'm writing these down.
Those show that the vendor, at least on paper, meets certain security standards.
Okay, but it's not just about checking boxes.
No, definitely not. You want to understand their whole security culture.
What does that even mean, security culture?
It's about how much they prioritize security.
Okay.
Do they just do the bare minimum?
Right.
Or is it baked into everything they do?
Got it.
One thing this document mentions is defensive programming.
Defensive programming sounds kind of intense.
It's a good thing, I promise.
Mm.
It means they're writing code with security in mind from the very beginning.
So not just fixing vulnerabilities after the fact.
Exactly. They're trying to prevent them in the first place.
Okay, so we've talked about commercial software. What about open source?
Ah, open source. It's a different beast.
How so?
Well, the good thing is you can often see the source code.
Okay.
Theoretically, that means more people are looking at it.
Finding vulnerabilities,
like,
but also more people could exploit it.
Exactly. That's the double-edged sword.
So it's a trade-off.
It is. Mm. You still need security measures, testing, and you got to make sure you're using the latest versions.
Right, because updates usually have security patches.
Exactly. And with open source, it's not always as simple as just clicking update.
Oh, really?
You got to manage those components, make sure they all work together, and that they're being maintained properly.
So it's like a garden.
Yes. You can't just plant it and forget about it.
You got to tend to it, keep the weeds out.
Exactly. Now let's talk about outsourcing.
Okay, outsourcing. So I'm not building it. I'm not buying it off the shelf. I'm having someone else build it for me.
Right. What are the red flags there?
Yeah, so outsourcing, lots of companies do it.
Oh, for sure.
But it does seem like there's like a whole other layer of like concern there when it comes to security.
Definitely, definitely.
Because you're trusting someone else with like the keys to the kingdom, right?
Yeah, and that's where that, you know, that phrase comes in, trust but verify.
Oh yeah, I heard that.
This document really stresses that.
Okay.
Don't just take their word for it when they say, oh yeah, our stuff's secure. You really need to make sure.
So don't just assume, because they're the experts, that it's going to be okay.
Right. It's like if you hire someone to, like, I don't know, build a deck on your house.
Okay.
You don't just assume they're using the right wood.
Yeah.
And, you know, the right screws and everything.
Right. You gotta check it out.
You got to at least look at it, make sure it's up to code.
Yeah.
It's the same with software.
So how do you check the, like, the metaphorical wood and screws of software?
Independent security audits. That's
cool. Okay. So explain that to me. What does that even mean?
So basically, you have someone else, like a third party, come in and look at the software, the code, the whole nine yards.
Okay.
And they give you an unbiased opinion on how secure it really is.
So you're not just relying on what the company who built the software is telling you.
Because
they have a vested interest in it, right?
Exactly.
They want you to think it's secure.
They want to sell you that software.
Right, exactly.
So an independent audit, that's really, I think, the best way to get a clear picture.
So when I'm talking to these potential vendors, these outsourcing companies, am I like bringing this up right away?
Oh, absolutely. Make it clear that security is a priority for you.
Okay.
And that you're going to want an independent audit before you sign anything.
Got it. And this should all be like in writing, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Service level agreements, your contract, all of that.
Okay.
That's where you lay out all your expectations.
So no handshake deals when it comes to software security.
No. Get it all in writing.
Okay. This is so important because once that software is in place, it's like kind of hard to go back, right?
It can be very difficult and very costly to try and fix things after the fact.
Right. Better to get it right from the beginning.
Exactly. And, you know, all of this, it becomes even more important as more and more companies move to the cloud.
Okay. Yeah. Cloud services. That's a whole other ballgame, isn't it?
It is. Because now you're not just worried about the software itself, but the whole infrastructure it's running on.
Right, because you're basically trusting another company with all of that.
Exactly. And while these cloud providers, they invest a ton in security.
Yeah, I bet they have to.
It's still a shared responsibility.
You know, what does that mean, shared responsibility?
It means that they're responsible for certain things, like the physical security of their data centers, the underlying infrastructure.
Okay.
But you, as the customer, you're still responsible for securing your own data and applications.
So it's like they provide the fortress, but I'm still responsible for locking my own doors and windows.
Exactly. And, you know, this document is great because it really emphasizes understanding where those lines are.
The lines of responsibility.
Exactly. What are they responsible for and what are you responsible for?
So how do I figure that out?
Read those service level agreements. Don't just skim over them. Really dig in. Understand their security policies.
Got it. So it sounds like regardless of what kind of software I'm acquiring, whether I'm building it, buying it off the shelf, outsourcing it.
Right.
It all comes back to being informed, asking the right questions.
Yes.
And making sure that security is a priority from the very beginning.
Absolutely. It's right. Not just a technical issue. It's a business issue.
I like that. Software security. It's everyone's responsibility. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive. Thanks for walking us through all of this.
My pleasure.
Really important stuff. Maybe not as glamorous as, like, you know, ancient mysteries, but definitely just as crucial in today's world.
Maybe even more so.
You're probably right about that. So to everyone listening, we'll leave you with this. As technology keeps advancing, what new security challenges do you think we'll face and how can we get ready for them? Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.